السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير. ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, with respected brothers, in the limited time that we have on a Juma occasion, it is difficult to give lengthy tafsir of any ayat, and neither is that my intention. But this morning somebody wanted a reference with regards to this dua which I just recited, which has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif. I had discussed this in one of the majlises, and the person wanted to know where is it in the Quran Sharif, probably wanting to learn it. So I mentioned that it is in Surah Mumtahina, in the 28th para. So very briefly again, although it was my intention to continue with the topic that I was discussing over the past few weeks, but this is very relevant to our times. So very briefly I will discuss this ayat of the Quran Sharif. It is a dua which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made when he was leaving, when he was making hijrah. Even little children know the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the difficulties, the hardship that he underwent. The government of the time was against him. His father was against him. His family was against him. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole society was against him. And they were not only against him, but they had threatened to execute him, assassinate him, torture him. His own father wanted to stone him and do many, many things. Finally, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Salamun alayk, sa astaghfiru laka rabbi. He made salam to them and he went. This is just the gist of it. He said, well, you carry on with your way, I will go my way. So the first thing there that we learned was that he did not compromise on the principles of deen, of the sharia of the time. He did not say that since the whole society, the family, and the whole nation is against me because of my deen, so I have to move with the trend. I have to change my deen so that I become acceptable in society. That is the conclusion of many a people, that if a large number of people are against you for the sake of your deen, so then you must change your deen and follow the trend that is in vogue so that you become accommodated, so that you may become acceptable, so that you may become respectable, so that you may get some kind of status and position in society, so that the opposition may end. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated by his example that he preferred to make hijrah, to distance himself from them, to go his own route, but there was no such thing as compromise on tawheed, belief in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. There was no compromise on belief in the existence of a life after death, or the day of judgment that is going to come. There was no compromising in belief in one and only one almighty, powerful Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no compromise on that, irrespective of what kind of torture, what kind of hardship, what kind of problems they were going to face. But there was no such thing as a compromise on deen. However, sometimes we misunderstand this, and there are many an issue where it is not a compromise on deen, where Shariat itself accommodates the different views, and there we become very hard and fast and we say, no, this is the only view, nothing else besides this. So I'm not talking about that. There are differences of opinions among the jurists, among the learned scholars. The Quran Sharif ayat, the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where there is no clear-cut ruling on any particular issue, then we have deductions, we have analogy, we have so many other things, so that is acceptable. But what I'm talking about is the foundational pillars or the principles of deen. There was no compromise on that. Because the enmity of all these people was for no other reason except for the deen of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They were forcing him to worship the idols and he was not prepared to do that, so therefore there was all this enmity. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was making hijrat. He was wishing them goodbye. Now at that time he is making this dua. And what does he say? رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Oh Allah, I have turned against all these idols. And this invitation that they are giving me towards rejection of belief in you, so I am turning away from them. And because of this turning away of mine, there is tremendous amount of opposition. All kinds of threats are being directed at me. But oh my beloved Allah, alayka tawakkalna. He is teaching us to make a dua, that at such a time we say, oh Allah, our trust we place in you alone. Our trust is in you alone, nobody else. We haven't got our trust in America or China or Russia or Japan or UK or any other country. Our trust, O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is in you alone. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when I was discussing that hadith sharif in Bukhari, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's awsaf and his attributes have been mentioned, there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in that hadith of Qudsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wa inni sammaytukal mutawakkil, and I explained in detail that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was also very, very conspicuous in his life, very glaring quality, that he had his trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are living in a world of means, so we make use of the means, but the trust was solely in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, alayka tawakkalna, wa ilayka anabna, and we turn towards you with repentance. Inabat il Allah, turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with repentance. Now here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not commit any kind of sin. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact, was making all the sacrifices. He was going through the torture and hardships and problems. But what is he doing? He is still asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness, that there could be some shortcoming. The greater the person is, the higher his stages, the more istighfar and tawbah the person makes, because he believes that he could not do justice. And how can one do justice? Looking at the azmat and the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his bounties upon the person, how can he really do justice? And especially when they are anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, who are receiving wahi and revelation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when they look at the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they find weakness. Although there is no sin, there is no weakness. But still they make plenty of istighfar and tawbah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 70 times a day, 100 times a day, is making istighfar. Which sin was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam committing that he was making istighfar? But they are all lessons for us, that we commit sins day and night, 24 hours of the day, we disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and still we are not prepared to turn towards Allah ta'ala or to make istighfar and tawbah. And these pious ones, righteous ones, God-fearing ones, or those who were nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala without any sins, but there's so much of istighfar in their lives. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. And our final return, Allah, is to you. No matter how long a person lives in this world, even if he is a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has to leave this world. From the surface of this earth, they all had to leave. Nobody will remain here and nobody remained here. So this is the final goal is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The final destination is again Allah ta'ala. The final return is towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. O Allah, our trust is solely in you. We have placed our trust in you. We turn towards you with repentance. And our final goal and return is to you. But after that, what does Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say in this dua? That is the lesson for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And for people of all times. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. For those who have believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching them this most beautiful dua. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. O Allah, don't make us a fitna for those who are unbelievers. Don't make us a fitna for those who are unbelievers. La taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. We must not become the means of a fitna for those unbelievers. So Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the greatest mufassir, he says that what this really means is that, O Allah, do not make us so weak. I'm just giving you the meaning. He says, don't make us so weak that the kuffar, they become dominant over us. Don't make us so weak that the kuffar become dominant over us. The unbelievers become dominant over us. They punish us. They execute us. They torture us. They imprison us. I'm just giving you a general meaning. Because of that weakness that the ummah is suffering, so now everybody is climbing the bandwagon to suppress, to torture, to oppress, to tyrannize, to do all kinds of injustice, to bulldoze their homes, to rain bombs upon them, to imprison them for years without any evidence being led at any court of justice, nothing. Injustices of all kinds. So when this will happen, will become a fitna, a test for those kuffar. And also, if you have to look at all the other meanings and commentaries put together, they said that, Ya Allah, don't give them so much of rizq and sustenance. In whichever way that may be, that, oh Allah, don't increase their sustenance so much that it becomes a fitna, that they begin to believe that since we have been blessed with so much, therefore we are on haq, and those who are believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are on batil, instead of the reverse. So you can see it is becoming a fitna now for them, that because of their domination, because they are able to suppress and oppress, and because they are able to arrest and imprison, and because they are able to execute, and they are able to bulldoze and bomb and bombard, so therefore they start getting these ideas that if there was an Allah, a great, powerful, almighty Allah, and if there was some truth in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, the verses of the Quran Sharif, in which it has been mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will assist the believers, then where is that assistance? We cannot see anything. Therefore we are the ones who are on haq, and these people are on batil. And there is no such thing as the existence of Allah. So it has become a great fitna for them that they will refuse to accept Islam, because they will believe that there is no need to accept Islam when we are dominating, when we are a powerful force, when we are the ones who are calling the shots, then what is the need to believe in Allah? So you can see the same thing now became a fitna. However, when does it become this fitna? Is according to another commentary where that why did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam make this dua? He said, because sometimes it happens Not in the case of those Anbiya and the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But in our times, and in many times in history it has happened, that because of the disobedience of the believers, because of the rejection of the teachings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, by the believers in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, so as a punishment Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives domination of the kuffar over the believers. That is the reason, that is the major cause. And you can see it in the verses of the Qur'an Sharif, you can see it in the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you can look at it throughout history. That the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, it was a little while a test for them, a little test. But they were successful in that test, then Allah ta'ala gave them domination. Wherever they went, they were victorious. Just listening to the name of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the Amirul Mu'mineen, it is to cause a shiver down their spines. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them such kind of force, such kind of power. But Islam was a deen for peace. Islam wanted happiness, unity to prevail in the society. Islam wanted that there must be no criminal activities. Islam wanted that everybody must enjoy security. Every person, whether he is a believer or disbeliever, if he is living in Muslim land, then there was peace for him. There was security. There was so much of aman at that time. So how did all that come? It came because of Islam and Iman, and because of the propagation of this deen of Islam. So as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. He says, O Allah, and as I said, that this was not for those Nabis. They were pious, righteous, God-fearing servants. They had no sin at all. There was no disobedience in their lives. But it is for us and for people that will come till the day of Qiyamah in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he says, وَخْفِرْ لَنَا. O Allah, forgive us. Again, he's asking for forgiveness. That, O Allah, if there's any shortcoming, if there's any weakness in my actions, then forgive me, forgive us. The people who are with me and myself, if there's weakness in our actions, then, O Allah, forgive us. He's not only blaming the kuffar that you are doing this and you are doing that, you are doing that. He says, O Allah, if there's any weakness, then forgive us. We are weak servants of yours. And as I said, because they look at the azmat and the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then they find themselves extremely weak. Unlike us, if we have a little bit of wealth or a little bit of position or a little bit of name and fame in society, then we think that we don't even require Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, وَخْفِرْ لَنَا, O Allah, forgive us. Overlook our shortcomings, our faults, our weakness. Why? إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. O my beloved Allah, you are exalted in status. Aziz, whosoever turns towards you, whoever places his trust in you, whoever repents and makes rujoo towards you, whoever makes this inabat ila Allah, or whoever places his affairs in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after making use of the means, but he believes that everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala, so he places his complete trust in Allah Ta'ala. So he says, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزِ. You're exalted in might. There is nobody that can dominate over you. There's nobody that can overpower you. And whosoever entrusts his affairs to you, then he will find protection. Then he will definitely find protection. Provided that person is obedient to Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he places his trust in Allah Ta'ala, then even with small armies, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them victory. Whether they are in minority or majority will make no difference. Even if they do not have plenty of wealth in their possession, but because they have placed their trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so Allah ta'ala is aziz. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take care of their needs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect them from their enemies. Allah ta'ala will then give them domination after their test is over. And Hakim, Allah Ta'ala is all wise. Whatever is happening, it is happening with His wisdom. It's not that Allah Ta'ala has gone to sleep now, or Allah Ta'ala got so fed up with mankind fighting and arguing and at war with each other that Allah Ta'ala decided to let them do what they want and He's got no more control over anything. Or Allah Ta'ala lost His power and control because suddenly superpowers came into this world. There is no such thing. Allah Ta'ala's power will remain over all powers. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is wise. He knows exactly why what is happening, where and where it is happening. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is causing it to happen. So there is no other way out for us, no matter how much we try. But there is no other way out for us but to listen to this dua very carefully and to make the dua with yaqeen. And of course it goes together with effort and with that mujahada or whatever jihad. Jihad really means making an effort. But if we are going to do what is happening now around the world in the name of Deen and Islam, then believe me, Allah Ta'ala's madad, nusrat and help will never come. In fact, more azab will come. Nowhere in the history of Islam or nowhere in the teachings of Islam will you ever find that just because Muslim girls have been asked to throw out the scarves in France, so therefore you must make hostages of hundreds of young little children, innocent young children, to make them hostages and with knives and guns and bullets around them. What would we think of that if that had to be done to our children? Little children, what they must be experiencing. Go and fight the enemies in the battlefield. Go and fight the soldiers in the battlefield. Go and fight their or destroy their structures. Nobody will object if you are being tyrannized, oppressed, and there is no way that you can get anything except by waging war. Then Islam permits this. But where must you wage that war? So when we are going to do injustice, and this is my cry for many, many years, that the reason why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and madad and nusrat is being held back, in spite of our sacrifices and in spite of all the efforts that are being put in, is that if we take two steps, one step forward, then we take two steps backwards. So much of injustice we do, leave the international level, the injustices that are being perpetrated in our very own homes, and Allah Ta'ala does not like injustice. Allah Ta'ala doesn't tolerate injustice. When there's injustice, then azab of Allah Ta'ala must come. The oppressed person, when the person cries from within his heart, then all doors are opened. Right up to the arsh, the dua goes. And Allah Ta'ala assures that person against whom injustice has been done, that I will come to your assistance, even though it may take a while. And Allah Ta'ala makes it, causes that little delay for various reasons. It's not that Allah Ta'ala cannot punish immediately. But He says, I will come to your assistance. So if this person has not asked for forgiveness from that person against whom injustice has been done, then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come. And it will come in different forms. Allah Ta'ala's forces are unlimited. Allah Ta'ala is very loving, very caring, very forgiving, very merciful. He's so kind, so compassionate, so loving, that we just cannot imagine. He wants to forgive. Therefore even gives time to those people who have been oppressors, that go, ask for forgiveness. And I'm not talking about the international and the government level, because all the time we only think of one level, and that is the government level and international level. There's great injustices that are being done there, and we can see what the consequences of those injustices are. But when we are also going to be unjust, and when we are also going to tyrannize and oppress, and in Muslim lands, what else is happening? Those Muslim governments, what are they doing? How much of justice is prevailing in those Muslim countries? Whether it is Saudi Arabia, or whether it is Jordan or Syria, or whether it is any other country, how much of justice have they got there? When we are talking about justice, we are talking about the Quranic justice. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's punishment is coming, that we can see. But even at our individual levels, believe me, my dear brothers, until we are not going to ask for forgiveness from those people to, against whom injustice has been done, then we will experience those wars in our own homes. The wars will come into our own homes. And you know and understand very well what I am saying. Those wars are coming into our own homes because of the injustices. And one of the greatest injustices is that we are not obedient to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So people feel very much ashamed. They think it's below their dignity, that it is humiliating that a person has to ask for forgiveness if he has done injustice to his wife. if he has done injustice to his mother or his father or his family members or his staff, or if the staff has done injustice to the boss, it's both ways, it's not only one way. So they feel it below the dignity that how can we ask for forgiveness? We rather ask forgiveness now before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala withdraws the tawfiq. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rabb, oh our Rabb, we have placed our trust in you. We turn towards you with repentance. And our final destination is, goal is also you. Oh Allah, don't make us a fitna for the kuffar, for the unbelievers. Forgive us. For you are exalted in might and you are the one deserving all praise. So this was the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made and made the hijrat. Meaning, and immediately after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That for you in this example of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a beautiful example. There's a great lesson that you should take from this example. So now what is that lesson? That lesson is that in our times also, we can see that around the world what is happening. So at such a time, we ourselves must not do any kind of injustice. We must not disobey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after making the effort in the correct direction, then too we should not get pride and arrogance in ourselves. We should humble ourselves and turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, place our trust in Him, and then see He is the one who will change the conditions. The changing of the conditions will come from Him. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding, give us the realization. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems that the Muslim Ummah is suffering. But at the same time, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala must not make them do things which will worsen the situation and bring the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala instead of bringing the help and the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.